And what they learned? Well, they learned, of all things, that the bacteria did not survive. We could have told them that. Read the Bible. The fact of the matter is that King David said in Psalms 8, verse 3 and 4, he said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" You know, that statement there, it's very inspiring when we think about, we go out at night and we look up to the heavens and we see the magnificent creation of God. We see what God, for us, has done. It's pretty obvious to us that all this did not come from bacteria. When we think about the design, the great designer, the galaxy that we live in, the Milky Way, of itself, has over 200 billion stars. This is one galaxy. There's millions of galaxies. Think about the beauty. On a really dark night, and I'm not sure how it is here, but I know if you go to a very secluded place on a very, very dark night, when it's clear, there's no night lights, you can actually look out and you can see the outer bands of the Milky Way. And it's very encouraging. Every 24 hours, our galaxy, the Milky Way that we're in, travels 1.5 million miles through space. That's amazing to think about. That's more than 66,000 miles an hour. Is anybody tired? We're moving. We're moving. This was created by God the Father. Everything that we can learn, we see God's creation in, He's touched with His fingers. We can look and get our lessons from nature. Let's turn to Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12. I'd like to read verse 7 through 9. Job pointed out some of this that we can learn from nature. Job chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. He said, "But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish of the sea inform you, which of all these does not know that the Lord has done this?" Job said, ask the animals. In other words, watch what they do. They will teach you from their habits. He said, the birds of the air, they will tell you. So, this morning, as we get into the message here, I'd like to take a glimpse into what our Creator God, through nature, through the eyes of nature, has done, and some of the lessons that we can learn. As a matter of fact, I have 7 lessons that I'd like to point out as we go through today. And these are lessons from nature, lessons that we can get from just being outdoors and paying attention to the creation of God. And I'm going to take this down to one aspect of nature. One of my favorite subjects in nature, although from where we come, we're deer hunters and we're turkey hunters, but I love the American bald eagle. It represents so much. And God's creation of that bird is amazing. So I want to talk a little bit about that, you know, the lessons we can learn with respect to the American bald eagle. When we think about the American bald eagle is the fastest creature in the air. I don't know if we were aware of that. It's the fastest creature in the air. And its eyesight is like no other. That's why we say eagle eyes. At an elevation of 10,000 feet, that's almost 2 miles, an eagle can see a rabbit on the forest floor. And within a matter of seconds, that eagle can fall out of the sky at a rate of over 100 miles an hour. And it can attack and snatch that rabbit. That's how quick it is. That's how accurate, that's how precise this creature was made. Maybe you've noticed the shape of an eagle. We've all seen them probably in zoos. You know, when you see an eagle standing on the ground, it kind of looks like a weightlifter, the way it's built. It has broad shoulders, a powerful chest, and it kind of narrows down at the hips. And then it has powerful thighs. An eagle is very strong. There's another breed of an eagle. It's called the African crowned eagle. It has been known to kill an antelope of up to 50 plus pounds. And that's amazing when you think about that. That's well over its body weight, up to 50 plus pounds. Well, they're not only strong, but they are big. The American eagle at full grown size will weigh just over 20 pounds, and it'll have a wingspan of over 7.5 feet. Think about how amazing that is, over 7.5 feet. Now, the eagle's size and strength, again, it didn't just happen. It was created, and there was a plan through that creation. The eagle does not eat dead, rotted meat. The eagle goes for fresh meat, and it does make fresh kills. When you think about the eagle's diet, it has to have a diet high in protein, and it's very important for its survival. And that brings us to our first point, or our first lesson. We as Christians are no different from the eagle in the fact that we have to have a diet high in protein, a spiritual diet of high protein. As it says, we have to go from milk to meat, and it can't be rotted meat. We have to have meat that is appropriate for Christian living. If you will, turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, starting verse 47. You know, as a Christian, we have to have a very healthy spiritual diet of quality food. John chapter 6, starting in verse 47, says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead." Verse 50, "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." You know, God wants us to have the proper food, the proper nutrition in our diet. And he's talking about a spiritual diet. If we're not careful, we can get sidetracked. There's a lot of information now, you know, the information highway, the internet. There's a lot of avenues that we can look down or go down, and the food is not all that healthy. We have to be very careful of the food that we pick to eat. Our spiritual life depends on it. As an eagle, if it eats rotten meat, it becomes sick. And after a while, if it keeps eating it, it will die. And brethren, we're the same way. If we do not focus on God's Word and eat the spiritual food that He has prepared for us, we will become sick. And as sickness grabs hold of us, if we're not careful, we don't turn away, we will die. He wants to make sure that we don't do that. Well, thinking back about the eagle, unlike most animals, the eagle does very well in storms. When you think about the eagle, what it does in storms, most animals, they seek shelter. They'll try to find a cave or a tree trunk to get under or a bush to hide in, whatever it might be. But an eagle is different. Keep in mind that God created this bird. An eagle is different. An eagle will actually challenge the storm. Whenever the lightning striking, the thunder's out there, the rain's coming down extremely hard, the eagle hits the storm head on. The eagle will come out in the storm, and he will go to the last place that he saw the sun shining. He will look at the sun or where it was, and he will face it straight on. And then he flies to the direction of the sun. I thought that was a very interesting characteristic. He will take it, he will challenge it, and he will hit it head on. And he knows that once he breaks through the storm and he gets out into the sun, the rays and the heat from the sun, that'll dry his feathers, and that'll bring him back to where he was before the storm. This is a lesson number two that we can learn. Satan will bring storms in our way. The point is, we can't hide from them. We have to face it straight on. You know, when you think about other creatures, such as the vultures and the buzzards, they hide, and they are scavengers. they don't face the storm boldly like an eagle will. Brethren, we have to face a storm as a Christian. Whatever storm hits us, whatever storm comes in our life, we have to face it straight on. We can't hide from it, because if we hide from it, it'll only compound in our lives. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Brethren, if we rely on God, He will give us the strength. He will give us the strength to face whatever storm comes our way. Whatever we're facing, if we rely on God, we put God first, we trust and have faith in God, He will bring us through it. And He tells us, rely on Him, put our burdens on Him. And if we do this in faith, He'll bring us through. And that's what we have to do. It's easy to try to handle things ourselves and rely on our own ways. But as we've seen down through history, you know, the Bible is full of pages of examples of people trying to do their own way. And we see the results. Usually it ends in not so favorable. But if we rely on God, if we learn this lesson, we have the faith that God wants us to have, He will guide us through. He will pull us through whatever we're facing. And that's a great comfort. That's a great comfort to know. When we think about the design of the eagle, when God designed the eagle, it was definitely a special bird. Again, it wasn't like the turkey vultures or the buzzards. They have their place too. But the eagle was designed a little bit different. He designed the eagle with the ability, again, as we said, to look straight in the sun and fly to the sun. But He designed the eagle with special eyelids. Now, these special eyelids, it would guard the eagle from when it could fly straight to the sun and not have an adverse effect. All other animals turn away from the sun when direct sunlight hits. But the eagle can fly straight to the sun and not be affected negatively in any way. And that's amazing to think about. The eagle does have an enemy, though. The eagle has an enemy. It's the condor. Now, the condor is the world's heaviest flying bird. The condor can weigh over 25 pounds, and it can have wingspans that reach up to 10 foot. The condor will attack the eagle if given a chance. That starts to sound familiar, doesn't it? When we think about us as Christians, we have an enemy. It's Satan the devil. And he will attack us, given the chance. In battle, the condor will try to claw the eagle. But the eagle doesn't stay and fight that match. The eagle knows who his adversary is. The eagle knows that his adversary is very cunning. And the eagle knows, don't hook up with him. Move on. And we'll see this. This is another lesson that we can learn. Satan is at our heels. And we as Christians, we are doing our best to live God's way of life. And because of that, we all have a target on our back. And that target is a target that Satan is aiming at. Satan doesn't worry so much about the rest of the world simply for the fact that the rest of the world has not been called. We are his biggest opponent in the fact that we are called of God. We are closer to God than the rest. So naturally, Satan will hit us harder. If you will, turn to James 4, verse 7 through 8. James 4, verse 7 through 8. Again, we're all familiar with this scripture, but it's very encouraging, and it just amplifies how we need to be, how we need to live our Christian life. James 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, therefore, submit to God. The very first thing, submit to God. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. James is telling us here, the first thing we need to do, above all, is submit to God. We have to make a conscious effort in our life, no matter what comes down the road, no matter what storms come our way, submit to God. That is first and foremost. Submit to God. And then we need to follow that up by resisting the devil. Satan does things to us in subtle ways. He'll throw something at us, and it doesn't seem so bad, whatever it might be. And it's just little things. You know, somebody comes up and starts talking to us that we don't know. They may offer us a deal. And this deal sounds great, except for one part of it. That one part, we're thinking, that's not right, but the rest of it's good. Well, that's a challenge. What do we do? Well, we know as a Christian that if it's not of God, then we don't do it. If there's something wrong with it, we have to be careful of the whole package. You know, it talks about at the end time, false prophets coming. They're going to come and they're going to teach and they're going to speak. And 95% of what they say might be right on track, but 5% is not. If we let those little pieces get into our life, they'll eventually build. And if we're not careful, they will sidetrack us. They will derail us. God says here, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We can do this by drawing near to God. We draw near to God through Bible study, through prayer, meditation, fasting. This is how we do it. Again, this is just the basic stuff, but we have to bring it back to our lives. If we don't, then we will fall away, and we'll stand the chance of Satan grabbing hold of us and pulling us away. He will be our condor. We can't let that happen. Well, now we move on to the eagle's life when he begins to find a mate. An eagle, he's like the dove. He will pick a mate, and that will be it for life. He finds his lady friend, the lady eagle. And what they do, it's an amazing ritual. They fly high in the air, super high, and they lock claws. And he wraps his wings around her, and they fall. They will fall all the way down to the treetop level. And she will never struggle because she has put her total trust in him. And as they fall, when they reach just about treetop level, he opens his wings. And when he does that, she opens her wings. They don't unlock claws. Together, they fly back up to the heights, however high it is. They do this again. And this time, she puts her wings around him. Again, he's showing commitment and faith in her. And they fall again. They fall to the treetops. They open their wings, and they fly back. And they do this a third time. And finally, after the third time, they have totally committed to each other. They have committed their lives forever to each other. An eagle's lifespan is between 40 and 50 years. That's on average. They have committed forever to live together and to do this. And that's amazing. This is another lesson for us. It's a lesson for us as married couples, and it's a lesson for us, as was mentioned in the sermonette, as the wedding approaching, as Jesus Christ has picked his mate, his bride for life, and that's us. It's unconditional love. It's unconditional love with each other. Jesus Christ has chosen us. He's given us the opportunity to be a part of his life. And he wants to make sure that we as the bride feel the same way. He wants to make sure that we are as committed to him as he is to us. Well, the eagles, they go on to build their nest together. Because once they've committed, there's no changing their minds. They go on to build their nest together. And they don't do this just haphazardly. They think about it. They plan and they design. They build their nest because they know that this is their commitment for the rest of their life. Brethren, we are the same way. We have built our nest in the church that Jesus Christ founded in 31 AD. We have picked we should say that Christ has picked us. We have accepted that calling, and we are now building our nest. We are committed, and we plan to stay until the wedding happens. The eagles are the same way. They know what it takes to survive. They pick the area of their nest. They will find an area that supplies the needs in their life. They'll find an area that is on the highest mountain with the biggest tree, and they'll build their nest in that treetop. That treetop has to overlook or be close to a water source. We know that Jesus Christ is the living water for us. They also need the living water to survive. They need a place that will nourish them with the food they need. They make a commitment here that lasts forever. And this is a great example that I believe that God has showed us through the eagle. Something as basic as an animal, as a bird, we can learn valuable lessons here. When you think about the mountain that they choose, the tree that they choose, it's not just any old tree. It's a tree that has withstood time. It's a tree that has withstood the attacks of nature. It's a tree, again, that is planted by the river of life for them. Brethren, we have been through a lot. We're going to go through a lot. It's not over. Your time is drawing near. Every day it gets closer, but it's not over yet. We need to know how committed we are, and we need to stand strong. We need to not turn our back on God's way of life in any aspect. Again, a little bit now and a little bit later will be enough, if we're not careful, to derail us. We can't let that happen. When the eagles go to build their nest, they take time to do it right. You know, they don't just throw it together with sticks and twigs. They find the appropriate supplies, if you will. They'll find the fox or the rabbit, and they'll swoop down and they will take it. They use the meat to survive on, and they use the fur to line the nest. So it's not just any old nest. They take their time to do it right. Brethren, we took our time to make sure that our commitment was right. We didn't just join the church. We didn't just accept Christ's calling simply because we thought it was the thing to do at the time. I'm sure each and every one of us, we studied, and we prayed, and we fasted about it. And as we did this, God made it clear to us that this is the right choice. He made it clear to us that when we accept this calling, it was a calling for life. The eagles build their nest for life. Let's turn to Philippians 4 and verse 19. Lesson number 5 here is that God the Father will provide all our needs. God the Father will provide all our needs. Philippians 4 verse 19. It simply states, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ." And that's a great lesson for us today. Sometimes we can take this life that we're living for granted. And we have to be sure we don't do that. And I think this feast was a great reminder of that, not to take our Christianity for granted. The eagles do not take their life for granted. They take it serious. When we think about God the Father and supplying all of our needs, that's a great example for each and every one of us. As fathers and mothers, we know that we supply the needs of our children. We know that we will do what we have to do, whatever it takes, the best we can to supply the needs of our children. God is no different. As much as we love our kids, as much as we love our mates, God the Father loves us even more. He makes even more effort to take care of us, to supply our needs. Let's go back to the eagles. Soon, the nest is built and Junior appears. So now we have Junior, or the little eaglet. He's born. Eagles are born or hatched with their eyes wide open. I thought that was interesting. They also have their mouth wide open. They're ready to be fed right from day one. And we've probably all seen chickens or maybe robins in a nest. Every time the mother flies over or even close to the nest, the one that gets the highest gets the food. And that's what they do. They go nonstop. And there's a lesson there. All of us can probably relate to the fact that when we were born into the church, or when we first started the church, we were hungry. We were hungry. We wanted to get all the meat we could get from the church. We wanted to tell everybody about it. That's something that we can't lose. We cannot lose our hunger for the truth. Junior Eagle here doesn't lose his hunger. Every time his mom flies by, she drops a piece of meat in his mouth. And that's a good thing because she's nourishing him. He's growing. He's getting stronger. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew 6 and verse 11 simply states, "Give us this day our daily bread." Daily. Daily bread. We need to take the example of the eagle here, and we need to be fed every day on God's Word. Brethren, this world is not getting any easier. Times have changed. Times are rapidly approaching an end. And we know, as prophecy tells us, as this happens, things are going to get tougher, especially for us as Christians. If we don't stick to the truth, stick to the very basics and grow, make sure that our foundation is strong, we will go hungry. We have no reason to go hungry. We have God's Word. We're supposed to feed on it on a daily basis. And that's very important. That's very important. We need this spiritual food to get us through the day. When we go back to the eagle here, and we think about the mom, and we think about how she's fed Junior all along here, and Junior does start to grow, and he starts to get a little too big for the nest. You know, the nest is getting crowded now. We have mom and dad, and now, you know, the big Junior here. So she drops him out of the nest. When she drops him out of the nest, she drops him out. Remember the rock that we talked about underneath the tree where the nest is built? Well, she drops him out onto the rock. Now, we know that that rock is a solid place to land. That rock has been there even longer than the tree has. The rock has withstood everything coming and going from, you know, magnificent storms to forest fires to whatever, you know, snows, whatever might come forth. That rock didn't move. It's there. Well, she puts him directly out on the rock, but he's always in the shade of the nest. The mother and the father are still there watching over him. So, as time goes on, the mom begins to come out and build a small nest on the rock. She builds a nest and she lines it with soft grass and she'll line it with rabbit fur. And then she allows Junior to take his new temporary home. Now, Junior loves it. You know, he's on his own. He's grown. He's getting big. He's having a great time. He's out on his own. He's a bachelor, if you will. Well, he hasn't learned all the lessons in life yet. Like us, he's still learning. We're still learning spiritual lessons. At first, it seems a little strange that she'll just dump him off and leave, but we know that that's the way of life. That's the way to learn. You teach them. You teach them. Sometimes they're hard lessons, but they have to learn these lessons. So as he gets out and he is starting to enjoy his bachelor pad, he's having a great time. Mom knows it's time to learn the next lesson, the lesson of why you were born, what your purpose in life is. Well, this is shocking to Junior. He thought he was just there to enjoy life, kick back, and have a good time. Well, there's much more to life. Well, we as Christians know why we were born. We know why we were called into church, and we know what God has in store for us. And these are tough lessons. None of us came by this calling easy. They're tough lessons. We are learning them. We have learned them. And we'll continue to learn them as we go along. So mom comes back down to Junior. It's time for him to learn a lesson or two. So she starts tearing away his nest a little at a time. Well, this kind of confuses Junior at first because he's not really sure what's going on. He's not been out on his own too awful long, but long enough to grow, long enough to start understanding things. Well, she starts tearing his nest away and starts throwing it over the cliff. Junior walks up to the edge of the cliff to see what's going on, and he realizes, wow, that's 1,000 feet down there. That's a long fall when he backs up. And these are what eagles go through. He wants to go back to the security of his family, of his home. The point is, we have security of the family, the church family. We are all one family. And that was a point made at the feast, and I thought it was a very excellent point. No matter where we come from, what parts of the world we are, we're in God's church, God's called out ones. We are family. We're God's family. And we should be able to talk to each other about anything. We should rely on each other to get through the tough times. That's what we have to do. That's what the eagles do. They rely on family to get through the tough times. But they still have to learn lessons. We still have to learn lessons. And until we become spirit beings, we will continue to learn lessons. Well, the eagle, we move on in life, and it's time, as we mentioned before, for Junior to understand what he was made for, what he was born for, what his purpose in life is. We've all heard the expression, soar like eagles. Well, it's mom's turn to teach Junior to fly. So what she does is she comes down to the rock where he's at, and she rolls him on her back. And he doesn't have a clue what's going on. This is the first time for him. So she's up on this rock, and she dives off. And she falls. She's not flying, she's falling. And he's on her back. And he doesn't know what's going on. And when she gets to the treetop level, she spreads her wings. And she flies. And the whole time, I suppose in eagle talk, she's instructing him what's going on. She takes him back to the highest of heights again. And this time he's holding on for dear life because he's been through this once. She does it again. Only this time she dumps him. And she's telling him, flap your wings. Flap your wings. In other words, don't give up. Try. Do it. Do it. Instruct him what to do. This time she's not going to catch him. It's fly or fall. But she knows that he's ready. And brethren, this is a great lesson for us. God knows each and every one of us. He knows our hearts. He knows where we are. And he will not tempt us or test us or allow us to be tempted or tested beyond what we are ready to accept, what we are ready to handle. And I thought that was a very good point from the eagles. The mother knows what the baby, the junior, can stand. God knows what we can stand. And he will not push us beyond our breaking point. Sometimes in life we feel like, I can't go on. You know, I am at the edge. But you know what? If we're at that point, God knows it. And God says, you can go on. Through him, all things are possible. And we need to rely on God to do this. We need to rely on God to get us through. Just like the eagle relies on his mom, knowing that she won't allow him to be in harm's way, he can do it. He can fly. And that's the lesson that we get from that. We have to understand that God will not tempt us, or allow us to be tempted or tested beyond what we can handle. And it's amazing what we can handle sometimes. But it's true. So when we think about this, we think about the nest, the eagle's nest. We think about where the eagle landed, the eaglet landed. We know that we are landing on the rock. And we know that the rock is Jesus Christ, his church, his life, his way of life. That's the rock in our lives. We know that we can handle whatever comes our way. Look at Psalms chapter 18, verse 2. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 2. Again, a familiar scripture that we all know and we've all read probably many times. It says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." And that's very important. We know that God is all these things to us and more. The last part of that, "in whom I will trust." That's our part. The first half is facts of God. This is what God is to us. He is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. He is our strength. But the last part is our duty. We have to trust in God. We have to have faith in God that He will provide all these things, all these needs for us. And He will. You know, brother, think about, you know, when we're hungry. You know, we know that we can go to God the Father and Jesus Christ because it says Jesus Christ is the manna from heaven. That's the bread that keeps on giving. It's not the one-time thing. When we're thirsty, He's the river of living water. He will supply our needs. He will nourish us. How about when we're tired? You know, we all grow tired. And I don't just mean physical tired, but sometimes we grow spiritually tired. And that's not a bad thing to talk about, because sometimes we may just, you know, we may think, well, I am spiritually tired, but I'm too embarrassed to tell somebody. Well, we shouldn't be. You know, we're family. When we're spiritually tired, we should talk to each other, because iron sharpens iron. We can lift each other up with, you know, quotes from the Bible, with examples from the Bible. God has told us, rely on each other. Ultimately, rely on Him. But that's what a family is. A family sticks together, and a family helps each other no matter what. Through thick and thin, a family works together, and we build each other up. We don't tear each other down. So especially when we become spiritually tired, we need to talk to each other. We need to help each other. Well, time has gone on now for the Eagle's life, and the mom, you know, she's thrown Junior out. She's taught him to fly. And the whole time she's giving these life's lessons to Junior, where's the father eagle? Well, he is up at the highest of heights again, flying, and he's watching for the condor. He's making sure that the adversary of the eagle does not interfere any way in these life's lessons that the mom is teaching Junior. God the Father is watching out for each and every one of us. He will allow us to be tested because He wants to know, He needs to know our level of commitment. But He will not allow us to be harmed. Now think about that. Harmed. Harmed in a way that will knock us out of His way of life. We are the only ones that can do that. We are the only ones that can turn our back on God and lose this calling. God will not do this for us or against us. He will watch out for us. It's very important that we don't lose our focus. Our focus. And again, when we become spiritually tired, it's easy to do that. But we can't do it. We cannot lose our spiritual focus. Well, when we think about the eagles again, and we've now reached a point in the eagle's life where age is set in. A lot of us have been in the church for a long time, 20, 30, 40 years, even 50 years, and maybe more than that. Age has set in. And we know that time does happen to us all, and time affects us all in different ways. Well, the eagles, if they give up their active life, if they start to slow down in age, things start to happen to their body. For some eagles, calcium begins to deposit on their beaks. And again, this happens with age. And as a result, their beaks become swollen and sore, and they stop eating. Well, when the wife eagle sees this happening to the husband, who represents the family, she will go out and she will kill something for the husband eagle, and she'll bring it back to him, and she'll place it at his feet. And I thought this was a very interesting point. At that point, if he accepts this offering, then he has committed to giving up. It's a little strange, a little different. If he accepts what she brought him, then he's sending a sign saying that, I'm just here for the ride. I'm old, I'm dying, and it's over. I'll go as long as I can go, but I'm not active anymore. And I thought that was a very important lesson. If we grow old in the church, we've heard things for years. We've seen errors in the church, and we've seen errors corrected. We cannot give up, no matter how old we get. If we simply sit back and say, okay, I'm tired, I'm not fighting anymore, I'm going to be inactive, then we have, in a sense, sealed our destiny. We're done. We quit. God does not want us to quit. Whenever we think about the eagle, if he does this, the wife will continue to feed him because she loves him. She'll continue to bring his meals to him. But there comes a point where the lady eagle cannot stand to watch this any longer. And it ruins the family. It ruins the eagle family. And we see the very same thing. This is the beginning of a breakdown of the Christian family. If any part of the Christian family decides to give up, then we see a breakdown. Then we start to see a snowball effect. One quits, then another quits, then another quits, and everybody soon quits. And that's not a good thing. It's a very, very negative impact on the church in general, on God's family. Whenever the eagle reaches this point in his life, again, he starts to think back on remembering when he used to soar. He used to fly to the tops of the sky. He remembers that he used to be the king of the air. But something has happened. He's lost his zeal. He's lost his power and strength that he had in his body. And just as some of us today, if we're not careful, we can lose our zeal. We've just came back from the feast, and it's been very inspiring. It's been very encouraging. It should pump us up for another year or for longer. But by all means, we have to hang in there and go forward, no matter what this life offers, no matter what it brings to us. Hang in there and keep going forward, looking to God the Father and Jesus Christ as our inspiration. When you get back to the eagle here, and he remembers how things was, this is like the Christian. We can remember, if we start to get in this mindset, we can remember how things were. We remember, and we talk about this, remember back in 1979 when we went to the feast, and there were 10,000 people there, and we loved it. It was great. If you didn't meet somebody and write their name down on the first day, then you may not see them again because there's so many people there. And then we start thinking about, even like last year, when there were just, feast sites scattered and just a few hundred, and the atmosphere of harmony wasn't there, then we start to get depressed. We have to shake it off. We have to get back to the basics. Hold on and go forward. We can't quit. The eagle will make a decision not to give up. And that's very inspiring to us as Christians. The eagle, when he reaches this stage in life, he will make a decision not to give up. He will continue on. So he will make that climb from that rock back up to the heights of the nest, back to where he started his Christian life, his physical life. And he knows to go back to the basics, back to the beginning, and start again. When he makes that hard, horrific climb, When he gets to that point, then he knows it's time to do a soul search. He looks at his life, and he sees the molten feathers. He sees that what age has done to him. And as he give up for a while, sin, if you will, sets in. And he knows he has to get rid of it. So what he does, the eagle will start pulling out all the broken feathers on his body, wherever they are. All the infected feathers and the stubs, he will pull them out one at a time. When he does this, it's excruciating. The pain is awful, but he does this. And then he will take his beak that has calcium deposits on it, and he will start thrashing his beak against the rocks to break off the calcium. And again, the pain is unreal. And we can relate to this in the fact that when we go through life, and we all have sins, and we all have sinned, to get through that, sometimes the pain is unreal. But God forgives us. God wants us to shake off the pain, shake off the sin, get rid of the sin, put it behind us. He wants us to keep going. That's what the eagle does. And when he does this, when he finally gets his body back in shape, it'll take him some 40 days to get back to where he can fly again. But this time, he does have a new zeal, a rebirth, if you will. Once the eagle goes through all this torture and all this pain and struggling in his life, and he reaches this point, he becomes even better than he was before. This time, he will fly straight into the sun again, and he will keep going and keep going, higher than he's ever flown before. And I thought that was very amazing, the traits of an eagle. There's so many lessons that we as Christians can learn from the eagle, and not just the eagle, but nature in general. You know, God has given us a great blessing with his creation. He has taught us so many things and given us so many ways to learn his way of life and so many opportunities to continue on his way of life. Brethren, we have just come from the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's been a great feast. We've had harmony as never before, or at least it's been a long time. We've had peace, and we've had joy at the feast. And these are examples that we all have to take and put into our lives and help us get through until the spring holidays come. And then we'll be re-energized again. But as we look back to nature, and we think of these lessons that we've talked about today, and we see that even in the smallest thing as nature in God's creation, and we know how much he cares for us and loves us, and he's given us these examples to live by, but then we need to take these examples and put them into our lives. And we never, ever want to quit or give up. If we ever get in that mindset, then we need to look to each other and look to God. And let's continue on.